All right, back on the Young Turks. Another power panel, drop it. Do we have it? Damn. All right, Ben Magwitz, Cenk Uygur, Ida Rodriguez, Anna Kasparian. We got a great hour for you guys. I was laughing at this tweet. Joseph Hughes, when they said he was going to sit down with someone from The Economist, he probably asked, which economist?
The Department of Economists.
He said the Department of Environmental, and he still got elected.
Among many other things that he said.
You know, wouldn't it be interesting if I ran? I mean, I keep saying that, right? I'm not going to. Just I don't mean to stoke fires. Nobody was thinking that. Okay, is that, like if I was running against Trump, I would have never let that go. And I don't know if that would work or not, right? Mm-hmm. But I'd be in a debate with him, and I'd be like, "So Donald, I was wondering what you thought we should do next with the Department of Environmental."
They call you smug.
Yeah, they would, and I'd keep doing it and doing it, and I'd be like, "Look, you guys are right. I'm smug. I'm a bad guy." But that other guy's a moron. Right? Between smug and moron, for leader of the free world, not a hard question. Okay. Anyway, so Rafer Madness writes in about Sessions, which makes sense. Says Sessions wants to increase penalties for drug offenses. Ironically, it makes me want to ask what he's been smoking. And Ashley B writes in, forget the 50s. Jeff Sessions reminds me of someone from the 1800s, which I think when you said 50s, Alonzo said 1850s.
No, other way around.
Oh,
he said 50s and I said 1850s.
Okay, yeah. All right, members of the day are Russ Childers and Toby Vaughn. Thank you guys. Support the show, support independent media. I don't think that a lot of folks are doing this to Donald Trump on mainstream media. We're telling it like it is. So tytnetwork.com/join. All right, Casper, what's next?
All right. During a public town hall in Flint, Michigan on April 20th, six individuals who were upset about the fact that they had been drinking poisoned drinking water voiced their concerns about what the city had done and the ramifications of what they had done. Now, interestingly enough, six of them got arrested because of voicing their concerns, maybe a little too loudly. But apparently there are all sorts of irregularities, lack of transparency, and also an unusual degree of secrecy in this story. Now, Jordan Cheriton, one of our reporters, has been on this. He was actually at the town hall and he saw these people get arrested for essentially practicing their First Amendment rights. But I'm gonna give you some more details. Now, the Flint Six were arrested on April 20th at a mayoral town hall held at House of Prayer Missionary Baptist Church after police officials warned attendees that they'd be arrested if they didn't observe church rules of decorum. Okay, first, let me just stop right there. It's just interesting that they decide to do this at a church, which is, again, it's a religious place, and then they tell people, well, you gotta follow the church's rules. Well, if you're not religious, why do you have to follow the church's rules, and why did you pick a religious place to hold this town hall? Anyway.
No, not anyway. That's super, super important. So I just wanna emphasize that, guys. And if you hold it at a church, you cannot actually apply church rules according to the law in Michigan, which makes a lot of sense. If you hold a town hall laws apply, town hall rules apply.
Right.
So whatever you can do normally at a town hall, you should be able to do at a town hall in a church. It's not on the citizens, who by the way have been poisoned. I mean, there's lead in their water, people have died in Flint, Michigan. They're worried about their kids, etc. You can't tell them, well, I held it in a church, so you gotta follow Jesus Christ rules. I held it in a mosque, so you gotta follow Muhammad's rules. Held it in a prison, so you gotta follow prison rules. No, that's not how it works. There's town hall rules. So all of these arrests were illegal in the first place.
Right.
They're false arrests.
So, and the story just keeps getting worse. So when the town hall had begun, the police commissioner, Tim Johnson, said the following. Please don't be in here trying to disrupt this meeting, because if you do, I'm going to escort you out and I'm going to take you to the back door and then you're going to jail. I'm not going to play with nobody tonight. Now, just to give you a sense of what the scene looked like, here is footage that Jordan Cheriton obtained. You can kind of see how they're not doing anything at all. They're just voicing their concerns and they get arrested as a result of that. Take a look.
Bullshit. I'm going to do this, Jeff.
So can I just say on tape, you just saw clearly there that she had not done anything physical. She yelled something, and that officer didn't like what she yelled. I don't know if it's because he was offended because it was inside a church, or he's just a particularly sensitive dude. But that is not illegal. That is just not remotely illegal to yell something. And they're already escorting her out, and then he made it physical. Yeah. He then you know, brings her over, arrests her, you know, puts her head down, etc. So all these arrests are clearly illegal. And then in one of the arrests, they claimed assaulting a police officer. We had the tapes. I mean, you go on, watch it on youtube.com/TYTpolitics. On none of the tapes are any of the cops ever touched.
So let me finish the details real quick and then we can all jump in. So they were put in jail overnight, okay? And there was never an arraignment. There was never a bail hearing set, okay? They were released the next day, but ever since then, they've heard nothing. They don't know where the charges are filed. Is it through the city or is it through the state? What's going on? Charges range from being a disorderly person to interfering with police to the most serious charge of assault on a police officer, which is a felony. Again, no one touched a police officer. The only time there was physical contact was when it was initiated by the cops. No one has been arraigned. No notification regarding charges at city or state level. No one assaulted an officer. No hearing for bail. These are all strange inconsistencies that are occurring. And so the ACLU has gotten involved. And right now they're representing 5 of the 6 individuals who are trying to get some answers about this.
They obviously, it would seem they don't want to file charges because there's no case there and it comes back to haunt them. So, I mean, I try to avoid hyperbole here, but those people were kidnapped.
Absolutely. Yeah,
they were scooped up and thrown in prison with no charges for a night, and they were released the next day when they were like, we can't hold you here any longer, and your families will be angry, and then it'll be a bigger story, so we'll just let you go, and now we'll file no paperwork, and we won't proceed.
So the assault on a police officer is not anywhere on tape. And if they thought that someone really assaulted a police officer, do you think they let him out the next day without an arraignment, without any talk of bail? You know that that didn't happen, right? Otherwise, the cops would have been super mad, and they believe me, they would have immediately gone through the proceedings, and they haven't. So just let him go. Just give him clarity, and you could save face. We don't care. Like, just, I don't want this hanging over these people's heads in the first place. You know why they were angry? Because, like I said, there's lead in the water, and they're worried that their kids and themselves and their families are getting poisoned by it. That's why they had the town hall in the first place. How angry would you be, right? Just let him go.
I think it should go way further than just letting the people go, right? I think that there needs to be some sort of consequence for those who arrested these individuals. We're supposed to have constitutional rights,
absolutely,
right? And why is it that whenever we have conversations about the Constitution, it's always about one specific, you know, constitutional right, the Second Amendment. But when it comes to the First Amendment, by the way, where are all those First Amendment warriors right now? Yeah. Right, the ones that keep going to liberal colleges just to provoke, or I should say evoke, negative reactions from students. Where are they right now? Why aren't they upset that these protesters, or they're not even protesters, these residents of Flint, Michigan, were voicing their concerns at a town hall? That's the whole point of a town hall. Did they expect them to go over there and play hopscotch together?
They're called agitators, but what country are we in? My stepfather is from Cuba, and this sounds like stories that he would tell me about what happened in Cuba when they would speak up for their rights, and they are just asking for what is supposed to be water. I mean, it's supposed to be their right. But I want to know who's behind the law enforcement, because I always think that I see law enforcement sometimes as robots that are doing the work of the dirty and the evil. And I just think about this whole infection that's going on as a result of this administration, where people really, law enforcement, people in government really are seeing us as peons and really are starting to take action on what they believe and how they believe they should treat the average person. And you white people out there who think that this is not about you, that white lady just got her head shoved down by a cop. This is not about race, it's about money. Those of us that don't have, we are really being bullied and taken down this path of, it's getting scary at this point. It really is.
Yeah, I've always, you fire that cop. That guy can't be a police officer. You put your hand on her back, move her along a little quicker if you feel the need to touch her. I would basically, look, you're taking a job and we give you the right to have a gun and use the gun. You are duty bound to be restrained.
Absolutely.
You have to. Yeah, and it's tough, and you can blow off steam afterwards, go to a boxing class, right? You know, but you can't grab that woman like that. You cannot arrest somebody for yelling something that irritated you. It probably was designed. Whatever she yelled was probably designed to provoke that cop. Yeah. Your job is to not be provoked, so you don't get to be a police officer. Have a different job.
Yeah, wait. Look, let's just be clear. As Ida pointed out, the cops later called them agitators.
Yeah.
They are citizens. They didn't show up to protest. They showed up to voice their opinion at a town hall. It's not just what you do at a town hall. It's what you do in America. If we can't do that in America, come and voice our opinion to our government about something as fundamental as the water we drink, then what is America? I mean, if you get arrested for that, then that's not the America that I know that our Constitution demands of us. So, look, these cops, I don't know that they know what kind of trouble they're getting themselves into, and the prosecutors and all that stuff. In another one of the videos that we've shown on a previous show, one of the cops says right before you arrest someone, you're disrespecting the church.
Yeah.
Disrespecting the church is not a crime. You cannot arrest somebody for that.
Also, that goes to your first point, which is the most obvious point of all, which is, hey man, the church is just where you had the meeting. Once you have the town hall there, it's not a church, it's a building that hosts the meeting. We shouldn't even have to explain this to anybody.
Yeah.
And disrespecting it, you're allowed to disrespect the church, right? We had a whole president disrespects an entire religion.
Yeah.
Politically, some may think that that's useful, but you're allowed to disrespect the church. You can do it all you want, but they didn't. That's a building. It is a building with four walls. That is it. That is it. The church was kind enough to let the city use it for an important thing, a town hall in the middle of what is unquestionably the greatest crisis the city of Flint has ever experienced.
Are these people sick too? Aren't they?
Yeah, yes, a lot people, of them have been sick as a result of the drinking water. And by the way,
all the six who were arrested have been affected by the water in some way.
Right, skin conditions, all sorts of illnesses as a result of that water. And by the way, this is not something that's isolated in Flint. Jordan has done a lot of reporting on lead in the drinking water. Reuters has done a lot of extensive research into drinking water throughout the country. There are so many places throughout the US that are dealing with, you know, poison drinking water. And so if you think that this is a story that doesn't touch you and it's not that big of a deal, you're wrong. It touches all of us in some way or the other.
And in hour one, we did the last story we did about Jeff Sessions authorizing US attorneys across the country to crack down on drugs, right?
Yeah.
And make sure we restore order and send drug abusers to prison where they belong. Like, it just strikes me that I got it. They're gonna argue that it's a state issue, but man, what I would love to see is federal prosecutors making sure that water didn't have lead in it around the country. That'd be a great, useful way for prosecutors to spend their time and energy to make sure kids didn't drink poison water, as opposed to sending people to prison for 3 to 6 years for having a bag of marijuana.
And people have asked me, like, why don't you tell jokes about this stuff? Like, why are you so serious and heavy-handed? Well, I mean, like this abuse of power, if you haven't been seeing what's going on, even comedians are being held to Stephen Colbert is under investigation for a monologue. Not even us. Like, we are also being affected. We're being policed and monitored at our workplace. So you want us to tap dance for you up here when we're talking about these issues? We can't even do that anymore. It's like, it's gotten to the point where it's ridiculous. The abuse of power is trickling down to the smaller places, and now everybody feels like they can really...
Well, I mean, look, to be fair, Ida, Colbert was talking about human genitals, right?
Right.
It's something that our president would never do. So we need to investigate.
Yeah. And by the way, that's your reporter, Jordan Cheriton. If he wasn't there to cover it, God knows what happened to these six folks, okay? So if the folks that run Flint, Michigan had any sense at all, they'd tell those folks that they are not getting charged and they are free to go. They're obviously not in prison anymore, but they did stay in jail overnight.
Yeah, okay? For nothing.
They were
just taken captive overnight.
You've got to tell them there is no case against them, and you've got to end this nonsense before it gets worse, not for them, but for you guys, because what you did there was not legal or constitutional.
Real quick, this stuff's not happening in a vacuum. I think it was either Anna or Ida who said they were afraid. Like, and I was the day that, I'm less so now, but the day that Trump, I told you, the day that Trump fired Comey, I just had a, was my low point. I was like, Jesus. Like, I got scared just for, like, you know, I'm out, I'm over it now. I think good things are going to come of it as a result. But like this happens, we get this. You get Dan Hyman, in the reporter in West Virginia, who just he press passes on covering Tom Price, mm-hmm. coming through West Virginia, ask questions about the Republicans' health care bill, and he, as he was going down the hall, and he got arrested. He got arrested. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah. And it's and that's sending a message. And Tom Price was like, yeah, I didn't feel safe. The guy had his badge on. His press badge has covered West Virginia politics for like 25 years.
And Tom Price said, well, it wasn't technically a press conference. Yeah. So now we're arresting reporters for asking questions outside of a press conference.
He can be outside your house as you get into a car. He can bang on the thing and ask you questions. It's not a crime.
Well, might be now. Okay, what's next, Anna?
All right. Trump's EPA has decided to revive a controversial Alaska mining project. This is a mining project that back in 2014, Obama's EPA decided not to approve because of the fact that it could have some negative environmental impact. Now, the EPA and a mining firm on Friday announced a settlement in their legal dispute over the proposed Pebble Mine near Bristol Bay in Southwest Alaska, setting the stage for an eventual permitting decision that could allow the gold and copper project to move forward. Now, it's important to keep in mind that this is something that residents in Alaska, including the governor of Alaska, are not in favor of. We're talking about hunters, people who do want to protect the environment, and they do see this mining project as something that could be disastrous. Mine developer Pebble Limited Partnership sued the EPA back in 2014 over the agency's decision to block the mine on environmental and tribal sovereignty grounds before the company had submitted its permit applications.
Well, this is what you get. Again, this is another little example of no difference between candidates. This is what you get. You get Scott Pruitt. And Scott Pruitt, who in Oklahoma had what? As the Attorney General of Oklahoma had what? Sued the EPA?
13 times,
something like that. And now he's ahead of the EPA. And what do you know? The lawsuits, I agree with everybody who's suing the EPA before. And so this is it. You'll get as many of these as there are. I don't see, I'd be surprised if one time the Scott Pruitt-led EPA backed up a decision that any previous administration had made.
So here they might have messed with the wrong guys. Not only, as Anna pointed out, independent Governor Bill Walker, you've got some bipartisan disagreement here in Alaska about this project, like disagreement with Pruitt's decision. They don't want the project to go forward. But you also pissed off hunters and anglers.
Yeah.
And so the head of the hunter group is like, wait, I thought we were going to get to hunt there. That's the whole point of Alaska. And so they're super mad. Now remember, Trump tried this. He was on national lands. He was trying to allow more of this kind of drilling. It said it wasn't mining in that case, but drilling. He wanted to hand it off to private hands, etc. And Chaffetz in Utah, really right-wing congressman, was in favor of it. And then all the conservative hunters were like, no, no, that's our land. That's where we go hunting. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to sell it off for their private profit? All of a sudden, they backpedaled, and Chaffetz said he was sorry, and sent and the apology was accompanied by a picture of him in camouflage.
Oh.
I was like, oh, I love it, I love it. Okay, and to give you a sense of how unpopular it is, polls of local residents show that 80% of the people in the region oppose the mine, 80%. But Scott Pruitt doesn't represent the American people; he represents the Republican donors. He would sometimes I call him copy and paste Pruitt, because he would literally copy and paste letters from the lobbyists and then use it to sue the EPA and or make it part of the law in Oklahoma. So copy and paste Pruitt is now coming in and it's like, okay, what do the donors want? I'll copy and paste it. 80% of the people disagree. Who cares? You didn't pay for our campaigns. So Alaska, you keep voting Republican, this is what you're gonna get.
I'll sum up about 300 jokes of comedians that we got going on right now. It's like Donald Trump got a list. I want a list of everything Obama did. Are we going to undo all this shit? He got apples in the White House. Get them all out. Bring in some peaches. It's like, God damn it. That's how we feel. That's how the comedians feel. It feels like, you know, these guys are the political experts and they talk about the political aspect of this. And then when you look at it from an average American standpoint, it just seems like he wants to appease this base of people who hated that black man so much that was in the White House, and they want to undo everything that he did, even if you're going to bite your nose to spite your face. As if our poor little earth can take any more of all this bullshit that these evil people are doing.
Right, and it's not even like a politically savvy thing to do. Because if the people living in the state are against it, I mean, you're you know, potentially isolating or going against your base or your voters. Like, I don't know how many people in Alaska voted for Trump. But if 80% of them are unhappy with this because it will directly impact them in a negative way, it's going to hurt him politically. But That's awesome. Like, I have nothing against that. I hope it does hurt him politically.
Yeah. All right. We got to take a quick break here, guys. When we come back, the exercise story that I've been promising you. And remember that crazy memo from Steve Harvey? Has he withdrawn it or has he doubled down? Okay, we'll tell you when we come back. All right, back in the Young Turks. I'm amused by this. We did a poll yesterday. Is MSNBC progressive? So far, it's 93% to 7%.
Wow.
Yes.
No. Sarah Mack says, loving this story about the Flint, Michigan story. No one else covered this. I thought Jordan Cheriton did an excellent job of breaking this story. And the F plan says, philosophy of those in power, keep them poor, powerless, stupid, and distracted, organized or protest, and you will all go to jail or worse. That is, of course, their threats, and threats you should not listen to because we're Americans. And it's guaranteed in the Constitution that we have a right to protest our government and to speak out. So be an American, go to a protest.
Is anyone watching The Handmaiden?
Yes.
God, that show, it scares me.
Haunting.
Yes, very haunting. You guys should all check it out if you're not already.
Because that's The Handmaid's Tale. That's based on the hand. So yeah, right now we're like we're like a mix of Lord of the Flies and The Handmaid's Tale. Like, that's what's happening here right now. It's scary.
And the Great Dictator.
Yeah. Not great though.
No. So, right, yeah.
Okay. Or should I?
Yeah.
Cool. Oh. Okay. Cool. Earlier, someone who works or used to work for Steve Harvey leaked a memo that he passed along to his staff indicating that he did not, under any circumstance, want them to approach him unless they make an appointment. For those of you who maybe missed that story, the memo said the following: there will be no meetings in my dressing room, no stopping by or popping in, no one. Do not come to my dressing room unless invited. Do not open my dressing room door. And then we did not add the caps. He added the caps in the memo. If you open my door, expect to be removed. I have been taking advantage of my lenient policy in the past. This ends now. No more. I am seeking more free time for me throughout the day. Everyone, do not take offense to the new way of doing business. It's for the good of my personal life and enjoyment.
Yeah, man. I would love to have worked on the Steve Harvey show because I would love to have had information that he needed and just not given it to him.
Did you make an appointment before you
came? I tried. I knew I couldn't stop you, so I knew you had the guest names wrong, but I knew you didn't want to be stopped, so I just let that go on the air. And I guess I could have met with someone else and tried to schedule it, but that interfered with my personal enjoyment.
Or, yes. Or I could have told you who the right Miss Universe was.
Right.
But you didn't want me to stop by.
Right.
So what am I going to do?
Right.
I love this story because everybody else gets to be the comedian. But clearly, I haven't made it enough to the point where I can send a memo to the people that I work with and tell them not to mess with me in the hallway. I need to step my comedy up because I want to send out a memo too.
Yeah. Well, there is an update to this story, which is why we're bringing it up again. Apparently, Entertainment Tonight gave him a call and asked him what he thought about this whole leak and whether or not he apologizes. And let me go ahead and read you what he had to say. I don't apologize about the letter, but it's kind of crazy what people who took this thing and ran, man. I just didn't want to be in this prison anymore where I had to be in the little room, scared to go out and take a breath of fresh air without somebody approaching me, so I wrote the letter. Oh, is life hard for you? Do you have to interact with people that work on your show?
So, you know, this is a touchy subject for me because I'm a stand-up comedian and we are often held accountable for what we say and some of us are called haters. But I will say this. This is what I will say when I hear things like this. There were only two people I wanted to meet in the world. One was Michael Jackson and one was Muhammad Ali for different reasons. But I did get a chance to meet Muhammad Ali. And I think that was like one of the greatest people on the planet. He was a citizen of the world. When Muhammad Ali could walk down the street and when I was sitting with him and I spent an afternoon with him, the baker, the downstairs baker, was able to walk up to his door and knock on his door and bring him some baklava. Mm-hmm. And they said he was always accessible to the people all the time. And that was probably one of the most famous people on the planet.
Oh, he's the most famous person in the world for a while.
To be able to do that. And I just think that when people ask me, like, what kind of fame do you want or fame... Fame is not what I seek, but I would love to be Muhammad Ali versus Michael Jackson, because while Michael Jackson ran from the people, Muhammad walked with them. So I think about this and I think like ultimate foolishness, like that's the dissent that you create in your camp. And that's how your shit gets leaked. And people, if you were a nice guy, then people wouldn't send this out.
That's right. Elsa, there's a way. First of all, you need a chief of staff to send that a memo out. And there's just a way to do it. Like, you could even say, because he's clearly got some issues, like feeling ambushed all the time,
absolutely,
right? So the guy wants his privacy and you're hosting a show. Okay, that's all right. Yeah. You could, having to walk down the hall and have a zillion people walk up to you. Like, so you say then, hey, from 3 to 5 or from 1 to 3, I'm actually going to want some downtime.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, go talk to Mark and Mark will see about it. I'm sorry if it makes me shut off, but man, before the show, I just need to be by myself and I need to be in a good headspace. I know you're all working hard. Thanks.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
It. And it's just a way to, and then you get what you want and you get what you want, but instead you seem like a lunatic, like Sylvester Stallone telling the household staff not to make eye contact with
him. So my favorite part of the original letter was that, now, I've obviously been far too lenient so far.
Yeah, right.
Really? Yeah. Who believes Steve Harvey's been too lenient? Yeah.
Okay. Ben Carson.
So, but you know what? Your speech, Ida, had the reverse effect on me. Like, I want to be Steve Harvey famous. Where I'm like, no, you're not even allowed to come close to me. Okay, that's how famous I am. No. Look, you got to be a decent human being, no matter how famous you are. And this isn't about the public either. It's not even about Ali walking in the streets. This is the people who work for him.
My whole job's to make you look good, dick. You know,
apparently it's near impossible.
Good. I love how it starts. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, good start. I'd like you all to review and adhere to the following notes and rules for season 5 of my talk show. Like, again, I get it. It's the Steve Harvey show. He's the host. Just say the words of our show.
Of the show. Right. I mean,
our show be best, the show acceptable, right?
Yeah.
Something of my, it's like, again, my talk show. And then part of the story was also that he moved to LA to
and
do the
fired.
Show and didn't take anybody, including people who would gladly have moved themselves to LA to continue doing the job for this show.
He trumped them. Like, he fired him without letting them know.
Yeah.
You know, in a sense that, like, if he had let them know ahead of time, they could have applied for those jobs, like Ben said. No, gone. You're all done. I got a new staff in LA. And by the way, don't bother me.
But right. He does hang out with Trump, so it might be rubbing off on him. It's just been a rough run.
Does Steve Harvey hang out with Trump?
Well, no, you know, he met with him because he's supposed to be working on the HUD for the housing and urban development with Ben Carson.
Steve Harvey is working on housing and urban development?
Yeah, you didn't hear about that?
Anyone understands that issue, it would be Steve Harvey.
And Ben Carson.
Yeah. Right. No, you know why? Because they needed a useful African-American who's famous to come in front of the cameras. And Steve Harvey's like, did you say cameras?
Mm-hmm.
So, look, but his response here shows you exactly why he wrote it in the first place. Because he is totally clueless. And he thinks like, what, man? Why did they run with this? Why are people paying attention to this memo? I don't get it.
So let me give you a little bit more of his response, because I really want to get this in real quick. Okay, let's go to graphic 16A. He says, look, man, I'm in my makeup chair. They walk in the room. I'm having lunch. They walk in. They don't knock. I'm in the hallway. I'm getting ambushed by people with friends that come to the show and having me sign this and do this. I just said, wait a minute. And in hindsight, I probably should have handled it a little bit differently. That last part was the only time that he showed maybe a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of remorse. But he feels like, people should, I don't know, like you have to be super entitled to be able to have a conversation with him. You know what I'm saying?
They, I'm having lunch, they walk in, they don't knock. They work for you, you're at work doing a show. They're trying to make your show better.
You know how some bosses have an open door policy? He's got a very closed door policy.
Oh man, he's got a no door policy.
Set up an appointment and I'll pencil you in
policy. Don't wait in the hallway to talk to me. What, so like, hey man, were you waiting in the hallway to talk to me? No, I'm just in the hallway, man. I'm just walking to the restroom. The water fountain's down there. I do not want to talk to Steve Harvey, man. I'm just thirsty.
But he thought it was crazy that people were mad about the memo. He thinks like, of course, I'm being famous. I'm entitled to have you not talk to me. That's how he views himself.
Right. Get an assistant. That's what they do. You got an office. You got to go through the assistant. That's the, how it works. It's not that hard.
Okay. All right. We got to take a super quick break here. When we come back, the famous Trump exercise story. What does he think of it? I forgot we were coming back so quick, even though I told you I got chips in my mouth. All right. Here comes a super fun story about exercise. Go ahead.
Yes. Donald Trump is not a fan of exercise. Well, most people aren't, but most people understand that exercise is, for the most part, pretty good for you. Not Donald Trump, though. He actually thinks exercise is bad for your health. Now, the New Yorker and the New York Times both had examples of him talking about how he thinks exercise is a bad idea. Let me give you a few examples. This is from the New Yorker. Other than golf, he considers exercise misguided, arguing that a person, like a battery, is born with a finite amount of energy.
Oh my God.
Didn't I tell you he wants to dispute everything the Obamas did? Didn't Michelle talk about exercise? Right. Yeah.
No, so it turns out, and I had no idea, he's thought this for a long, long time. And like, he had somebody that he worked with that was getting ready for a triathlon. He's like, oh, you're crazy, dog. You just cut off a couple of years of your life. He didn't say that exactly. We'll share with you what he said. But he really believes this.
And you wonder why Melania doesn't want to go to that White House.
Okay, okay. It's insane. There's more, though. There's more. That was just one example, okay? So then there was a book written called Trump Revealed. This is a 2016 book. And in it, it says the following. After college, after Trump mostly gave up his personal athletic interests, he came to view time spent playing sports as a time wasted. Trump believed the human body was like a battery with finite amount of energy, which exercise only depleted. So he didn't work out. When he learned that John O'Donnell, one of his top casino executives, was training for an Ironman triathlon, he admonished him, "You are going to die young because of this."
Just when you thought he couldn't get any dumber.
Yeah, that's but it's interesting because, of course, all the women at the beauty pageants and that he when he barged in the dressing room of the teen beauty pageant, mm-hmm. but which is really almost the worst thing he's ever done, right? Yeah. Young girls, and he's just like, I own the thing, I can do it, right? I mean, it's disgusting in every way, and the things he said with Billy Bush and his wives, like. Like, here's who works out, Melania.
Yeah.
Right? And good for her. God bless. This is nothing I say here should be construed as anything negative in any way about Melania. But the way this guy has talked about women and thought about women and discussed women, you know that if, like, so some woman, Melania is like, yeah, totally. I agree, Don. Shouldn't exercise anymore. It just depletes my energy. Right? You think he's going to be okay with him when Melania gains 6 pounds? Right? No, he's going to be grossed out by it because he's gross.
Look what he said about Rosie. Look what he says about women.
He calls them pigs.
Yeah.
Right, calls them pigs. Yeah, you gain weight, you're a pig. He's talked about women's weight and so many times.
Yep.
And here's how people lose weight. They eat less and they work out. Right. It's really the only way to make it happen.
What's really interesting, though, is how incredibly judgmental he is about the physical appearance of other people, right. Men included, not just women,
yeah,
men
right.
included.
That's true.
And he has absolutely no, ability to like reflect on himself. Mm-hmm. Like he really genuinely thinks he's a good-looking dude, well, and it's amazing. Like that level of unearned confidence is pretty amazing.
Well, there was a story that he doesn't. They don't let shots of him playing golf, And part of the reason they don't take shots at him playing golf, part of the reason you not only see him in the suit is because he wears those suits are nice and they're tailored. But you see him when he plays golf, he looks horrible,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, let me give you
when they sneak in a shot and we get it out because they got to shoot it through a window. Like you'll catch him and he's you know he's wearing a golf shirt and he's got a belt and what do you know? He looks like a guy who's maybe not the most fit guy ever to be president of the United States, because, contrary to what his doctor said.
To be fair, though, he's not depleting his battery.
He is,
because
to be
it's
fair.
A finite amount of energy. You're born with a certain amount. You can't increase it. You just decrease
that
it.
That is science. Know? That is science.
It's insane.
That has been proven.
Right. Okay. So I do want to give you a little excerpt from the New York Times, though, because in this, there's a tiny bit of truth, so I want to get to it. So Trump said he was not following any special diet or exercise regimen for the campaign. He said, all of my friends who work out all the time, they're going for knee replacements, hip replacements. They're a disaster, he said. He exerts himself fully by standing in front of an audience for an hour, as he just did. That's exercise. Okay, so look, it does depend on what kind of exercise you do, right? So I love running, but running is hurting my knees. Like, there's no question about it. So it would be a lie if I said all exercise is perfect for your body. It's all good. There's no negatives. Sometimes, like if you're doing, what's that cult-like boot camp thing that people love to do?
Cult-like boot camp?
Yeah.
No, it's
Scientology boot camp?
No, the thing where you're lifting. CrossFit. There we go. Yeah, like CrossFit, right?
CrossFit like is a cult or
something. A little bit.
Right, where they lift the things.
The kettlebells.
CrossFit's really hard on your body, right? Yeah. There are benefits, but there are also some downsides, especially if your form's not perfect while you're lifting these insanely heavy weights. So look, it really does depend on the exercise, but overall, exercise is good for your body. Regular physical activity can prevent dementia, type 2 diabetes, some cancers, depression, heart disease, and other common serious conditions, reducing the risk of each by at least 30%. That's pretty significant.
Yeah, I don't see the Academy of Royal Colleges with anything in there about battery depletion, though. So.
But dementia, that would explain. Like, what's going on with him? He's not exercising.
Yes.
He's losing some of that. But I guess,
he's not losing it. He was
spewing bullshit is an exercise. That shit can probably be exhausting after sitting in front of people talking for an hour and fucking with their heads.
Physical activity, actually, if you don't do physical activity, it gives you about one third of the effect of smoking. So you know how devastating smoking is for you, and actually not exercising is similar to that. But I can't believe we're having a real conversation about this. It's obviously asinine from an obviously asinine dude. But I think that Ida might have solved it. You know, if regular physical activity can prevent dementia, and he has not had regular physical activity, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but I like the Obama point too. Like Michelle Obama said, "Work out? No, don't work out. Don't work out. It's better for you."
Him and the guy from Jersey with the big vagina. What's his name again?
With the Chris
Christie. Christie,
the big vagina. They came for the exercise. They came for the exercise. Remember, he was the one that was anti Michelle Obama eating a healthy lunch.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous at this point. It's like, oh, what did the Obamas do? We're not doing that.
Literally, all Michelle Obama did was she said she's the first lady. It's the most tepid thing in the world.
She'd
be like, let's try and have our kids eat healthy. And they're like, no.
So Donald Trump took one look at Chris Christie and he's like, that dude's got a full battery.
Yeah. God, I'm gonna start writing jokes with these guys.
All right, guys, we're done. Much love. We do a post game for you guys. If you remember, some of the crew here. Famous aggressive progressive Steve-O, Amir, Irina are part of it. Some inside baseball for you guys on how TYT works. So tytnetwork.com/join. Ida, got anything going on?
Get my album. It's on iTunes, Google Play, and Amazon. It's called I'll Say It For You. It's got some pretty good reviews, and it's not for the faint at heart. So if you can't go with me, then stay the fuck off my shit, because my shit goes in. And I'm talking about everybody. Nobody's safe.
So if you don't have a good heart like Donald Trump,
because
you haven't been exercising, don't try it. Man, it's dangerous.
Yeah. My battery's depleting as we speak.
TCM has some 1967 movies, 50th anniversary tonight and next Friday also, and more Inside Baseball, Smart Baseball by Keith Law, literally Inside Baseball. Keith Law from ESPN, and Keith was on TYT Sports today.
Cool.
promoting his book, and he's apparently a watches What the Flick.
Oh, excellent.
Among other things, so God bless by Keith Laws. He's the ESPN senior baseball writer.
So youtube.com/TYT Sports to watch Keith's interview, and youtube.com/TYT Politics to watch all the Flint, Michigan videos that Jordan Charton did. And then one last thing, guys. Monday, two fun announcements. We're going to announce our reporter, the final hire, the 13th hire as part of our journalism drive. And then and a special surprise announcement on Monday as well. Thank you. All right, have a great week.
Bye-bye.